Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. This is the reading of God's word. Then God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself an idol, or any likeness of what is in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of hearing your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word. And as we hear your word, let our faith grow. Oh, Father, let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that your word will be preached correctly. And by your grace, all of us will hear your word and understand and believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. Bless us and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We begin studying the Ten Commandments, but before we get into the first commandment, there's some preliminary things we need to talk about, and I would start with this question. What is the Bible about? After resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ appeared to two of his disciples on the road to a village called Emmaus. We read about this in Luke chapter 24. In that chapter, in verse 27, we read this. Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. In all the scriptures. At that time, only the Old Testament was written, thus the phrase all the scriptures refers to the Old Testament. In all the scriptures, Jesus explained to them the things concerning himself. The Bible is about the things concerning Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 5, verse 39, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these, meaning the scriptures, that testify about me. The Bible testifies about Jesus Christ. We believe that the book of Exodus is written by Moses, And in John chapter 5, verse 46, Jesus says, "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." The Bible is about Jesus Christ, and you must keep this in mind as we study the Ten Commandments, because even Ten Commandments is about Christ. The Bible does not teach us mere morals. Of course, the Bible teaches us how we are to live our lives. But when the Bible teaches us how we are to live our lives, it does this only in terms of what God has done and what God has accomplished for us. Without what our Lord Jesus Christ has done and accomplished, how we are living our lives has no meaning whatsoever. Because no matter how we may live our lives, if Jesus had not done what he has done for his people, every one of us will go to hell. So we'll all go to hell and we will brag about my life is better than yours and yours is... See, if Jesus did not accomplish our salvation, then even how we live our lives has no meaning. Really, it doesn't matter how you live. We'll all go to hell. Thus, the Bible's main focus is not so much on what we have done, what we are doing, or what we will do, but rather, it is on what God has done, and what he is doing, and what he will do. Thus, we must understand first what eternal reality that our God has already accomplished for us. Because the commandments of God are always given based upon what God has done and what eternal reality that he has accomplished for us. The Ten Commandments, God's commands, they are the same. The Ten Commandments section starts out with this, verse 2. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." Here we learn about what God has done, what he has accomplished. Then the commands come. Because like I said before, every commandment of God is always given to us based upon what God has done and what he has accomplished. Otherwise, all those commandments has no meaning because you and I, we are not able to keep it, and because of that, we'll go to hell. What did God do? Even as he gives these Ten Commandments, what did he do? He brought the Israelites out of the land of Egypt, and he made them a holy nation of priests. The salvation of God has been accomplished. Now, because that is now true, do this. That's the flow. Because of what I have done and accomplished, since you are no longer the slaves of Egypt, since you are now God's own possession, since you are a holy nation, since you are a royal priesthood, since now you belong to God, since this is what I have already made you to be, do this. Understand? Because if he did not save, then these Ten Commandments are not proper. See, every commandment of God to us is just command to go to hell if Jesus did not accomplish our salvation. That is a very important fact that you must remember. These Ten Commandments are not given to them when they were still the slaves of Egypt. They are not to obey these commandments to be saved out of Egypt, but they are to obey because they are already saved out of Egypt. All the commandments of God for us, we are to obey not to be saved, not to receive blessings, but because we are already saved, because we already possess His blessings. If God does not save, then we are forever lost. We just do not have the ability to obey God perfectly. We do not have the ability to save ourselves. So do not look at these Ten Commandments as God's commandment that you are to obey so that you will be saved or so that you will be blessed. No. Because if you see Ten Commandments that way, your life will be disastrous. I mean, it will be just, you will not know what you're doing. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 through 8. Because the mindset on the flesh is hostile toward God, and we used to have this kind of mind, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So you're not telling non-Christians to obey these commandments so that you will be saved. No, their mind, their evil mind, sinful mind is such that it is hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. The only reason why we want to obey is because we're already saved. So then, what does it mean to obey God's commandments? How do we obey God's Ten Commandments? That's the question. To answer this question, we begin with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. You don't have to go there. It's a very short verse. You know, we wish every verse is this short, so could memorize every verse. It says, pray without ceasing. Or other translation, always pray. Now, obviously, this is a command. God is commanding us to do this. Always pray. And question is, how are we to obey this commandment? Always pray. Some people think that they are obeying this commandment just because they pray a lot. Let's say you pray 23 hours a day, which is impossible. Then are you obeying this commandment? But some people think so. God says to pray always, and then just because they think they're praying a lot, they think they're obeying this commandment. No. Always means always. You know, we need to go to sleep. We need to do other things. How can we always pray? Well, the fact is you still need to obey this commandment. You can't just say, oh, God is unreasonable. No, He's not. And you will see why I say that if you listen to the rest of my sermon. So, the commandment says to pray always. How can we obey this commandment then? You and I must obey all of God's commandments perfectly. There's no exception. Are we to just give our best shot and hope for the best? Is that how Christian life works? We just, let's say, we give our best shot and hope for the best. Are we to give all we have and hope that God is impressed by our efforts? That our efforts will somehow move God's heart to just accept even though we're not perfectly obeying. How can we obey the Ten Commandments? How are we to do this? After we have studied the Ten Commandments, if I see you saying to yourselves, yes, I must obey these commandments, I will do my best, I will do my best to obey them, then all is okay? So my purpose is to somehow bring out from your heart this not even perfect, but semi-perfect desire that you would like to obey these things. Then we succeeded. Do you think that your best is good enough for God? Is that what you think? Just because you did your best, you say to God, you have to accept this, it's my best. Really? Do you think that God will be pleased just because you did your best? No. You must obey God perfectly. Because God is so perfect, anything less than perfection, God cannot accept. You're asking God to be, stop being God. If you're asking God to accept something that is not perfect. You must be perfectly righteous in the sight of God, and being righteous means that you obey God perfectly in all things. Righteousness is the opposite of sin, and sin is what? Breaking the law of God, and even in obeying, not obeying perfectly. Thus, being righteous means that you obey God's law perfectly. And only with the perfect righteousness, the relationship with God is established. Without that perfect righteousness, what makes these people think that they have relationship with God? Oh, just because you believe I have relationship with God, then you have relationship with God? No, you go by the Bible. Only way we are able to have relationship with God is that we have perfect righteousness, that we are perfectly righteous in His sight. Now, can we obey the Ten Commandments perfectly? Are you able? The answer is absolutely, totally, completely no. If you said yes or maybe, then you don't know the truth. But we must obey. We must be righteous in God's sight. Thus, back to the question, how then can we obey the Ten Commandments? If we study the Ten Commandments correctly, biblically, then our conclusion, right before we realize the true conclusion, will be this. Oh, I'm dead. I'm dead, for the wage of sin is death. And there is no way I am able to obey this. I'm dead. That should be your conclusion. Rather than saying, okay, I'll do my best. Maybe if I put a little bit more effort, I might be able to do this. No. If you understand Ten Commandments perfectly, biblically, then you know you're dead. Because the wage of sin is death. Jesus Christ is the only one who obeyed all of God's commandments perfectly. And the Bible gives us the gospel. It says that he did that for us. He did that for in our places. And he did that instead of us. And in him, it is as if we have done that ourselves. Jesus has completely satisfied all of God's holy demands. Pray always. Jesus has prayed always, and he still prays always for you. Thus, we are able to pray always only in Jesus Christ. That he prayed always, and still prays always. And if we are truly touched by the gospel, then we will not use this knowledge in finding ways to pray less, pray least. Oh, well, if I could obey, pray always in Jesus Christ, then, well, I'm not going to pray anymore. It just shows that you don't understand the gospel. That your heart is still dark. Because God is so effective, if God changed your heart to a new heart, you will not say these kind of stuff. Or even when you say it, you know right away it is wrong, so you will repent. Maybe that is the correct thing, right? We might say it, but we know it's wrong. Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. So when you look at Ten Commandments, you don't say to yourself, okay, I'm going to do this. And if I just put my best effort, I might be able to do this. No, through the law, the knowledge of sin comes to you. When you look at Ten Commandments, you'll know you're a sinner. Because you cannot obey these things. You know, through the law comes the knowledge of sin, it says. But some people use the law of God to boast about themselves. They will tell you, I do this and I do that. They actually use the law to brag about themselves. Man, how? They're so wrong. Because through the law, the knowledge of sin comes to you. If I were to read that Romans passage after verse 20, but now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophet, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned, and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in his blood through faith. This was to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God he passed over the sins previously committed, for the demonstration, I say, of his righteousness at the present time, so that he will be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. See, the purpose that God had when He gave these Ten Commandments is not to justify His people through these laws. It's not so that His people can look at those laws and they will obey perfectly themselves so that God could save them. That wasn't the purpose. It's to show us how sinful we are. It's to show us how we are utterly not able to obey God in our sinful state. And yet some people talk about works principle. They say, God bless me because I did this or I did that. That person does not understand the gospel. No. Only reason that God will bless you and save you is because of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. You take away Jesus, and only hell remains. And yet these Israelites, Jews, and some Christians so-called today, they still believe in works salvation. And they say to you, because I did this, 40 days of praying and fasting, God did this for me. God did that for me. Bible doesn't teach that. No one is justified by the works of the law. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 to the 17. But their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because that veil, it is removed only in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. See, their minds were hardened and blinded. It was veiled so that when they read the scripture, when they read the Bible, they do not get it. So when they're reading these kind of commandments, they misunderstand. And they think that they're able to obey, and through their obedience, they will be saved and they will be blessed. And that same veil is over so many self-claimed Christians today. Brothers and sisters, again, the commandments of God are given based upon what Christ has done and what heavenly reality that He has already accomplished for us. Without what Christ has done and accomplished, the commandments of God has no meaning whatsoever for us, because we are simply not able to obey any of them, no matter how hard we try, no matter what we do. Without Christ, the commandments of God just condemns us and ultimately kill us. Without what Jesus Christ has done for us, every commandment of God is saying to us, go to hell. In these Ten Commandments, 10 times God says to go to hell. That's all it is without Christ. But we are able now, in Christ to obey. Because Christ has obeyed already for us, in our places, instead of us. He obeyed in union with us, so it is as if we have obeyed. And the faith that God gives you, the faith brings that effect in you. What Christ has done, you claim as yours. That's the gospel. Otherwise, you are dead forever. There is no commandment of God that God commands us that our Lord Jesus Christ himself has not obeyed perfectly and completely. So whatever commandment you see in the Bible, you will be able to be assured that Jesus has obeyed that. That's why he commands you. Otherwise, again, God just saying to you, go to hell. Reason why God tells you to do something is that Jesus has obeyed that commandment. Otherwise, that commandment will kill us forever. And his obedience is our obedience. Romans chapter 5, verse 19b. Through the obedience of the one, the obedience of Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous. You have to understand this concept. Through the obedience of one, many will be righteous. And that's how we are saved. Now in Christ, God has called us righteous in his sight. Romans chapter 8 verse 1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation anymore if we are in Jesus Christ, even though we sin every single day. See, this gospel is so ridiculous. The world will never accept this. You and I will never accept this, except that the Holy Spirit in us made us to accept it. In Christ, God received us as his people who have perfectly obeyed all of his laws. This is our eternal reality that our Lord Jesus Christ has already accomplished for us. If we receive the Ten Commandments apart from Jesus Christ, then they come to us with the work principle which says, you do these, then you live. If you don't do this, then you die. Do you want that? Thus, when you go to the Ten Commandments, you dare not go to Ten Commandments apart from Christ. Otherwise, you're in big trouble. See, when you go to Ten Commandments or receive Ten Commandments apart from Christ, then you have to apply the work principle. Then you're dead. Forever. And we are not able to do without Christ. Thus, without Christ, there is no hope. But because our Lord obeyed perfectly for us, in our place, instead of us, and in him, it is as if we have obeyed perfectly ourselves, all we will receive from God is the eternal blessings of heaven because we obeyed. Thus, even in the Old Testament, The true believers receive the Ten Commandments in the coming Messiah. We see many examples of this in the Psalms. There we see that the commandments of God are their delight. Even as they understood that the wage of sin is death, how can that be? The wage of sin is death, and they know they cannot obey, and yet commandment of God is their delight. How could that be? Unless they understand this biblical concept that we're talking about. Now, let us conclude here. And I know, when I say let us conclude, it's another 30 more minutes here. But I only have 15 minutes, so I'll go fast. So, if you and I are not able to obey perfectly, and if Jesus has already obeyed them perfectly for us, then what does it mean for us to obey God's commandment? Legitimate question. Then why we try our best to obey if that is so? Yeah, why bother to obey them at all? So what does it mean for us today to obey God's commandments as much as possible? I give you three meanings. Yes, we cannot obey perfectly. And it is not that we obey so that we will be saved or be blessed. Then why do I do this? First, obeying as much as possible is our expression of love that we have for God. Because Jesus says, John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So as much as we obey, that much we express our love for God. And it is always a delight to express love for someone whom you love. Just see someone who is in love. They will love to express it. Even if you tell them, don't do that, I don't want to see it, they will do it. Because they want to express their love to that person whom they love. I mean, this is just natural. So obviously, even though we cannot obey perfectly, but I would like to express my love for God, so as much as I can, I obey. And this is not something that somebody has to twist my arm for me to do this. This is something I would love to do because I love God. That's why this psalmist says, the commandments of God is my delight. Do you understand what that means? So while we obey, what's the meaning of obedience today? Second, as much as we obey God's commandments, that much we are imitating Jesus Christ, because Christ's life was all about obeying God's commandments perfectly. So as much as you obey, you're imitating Christ. That's why we do our best to obey as much as we can. Because we like to imitate God. You know, I remember this when my kids were very small. I mean like really, really small. They loved their father, me. So they would love to imitate. You know, you walk in a certain way and they would try to imitate you. You know what I'm talking about. We all did this. That's what happens when you love God. You want to imitate Him. So again, this is not something that I have to twist your arms to make you, force you to do this. You will love to imitate Christ. That is why, as much as possible, you would obey.
And as much as we obey God's commandment, that much we are participating in the life of Christ. And the third reason, the meaning. As much as we obey God's commandments, that much we are witnessing the reality of heaven. In heaven, we will obey God perfectly. We will live exactly according to the will of our God. Thus, obeying God's commandments are not burdensome. Because when you come to the Ten Commandments and they are burdensome to you, then you're not looking at them correctly. You really don't understand the gospel. God's laws are not burdensome. It is something we would love to do. Do not see the Ten Commandments as a burdensome obligations. No, they are a delight for us. The Ten Commandments show us the holiness of our God. They show us the life of Christ. When you see someone perfectly obeying all of God's commandments, you are looking at the life of Christ. The perfect and holy life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these Ten Commandments show our life in heaven. They also show who we have become in Jesus Christ. We have become in Jesus Christ who is able to obey, do all these commandments of God in heaven, who will perfectly do all these commandments. So it is delight to look at these commandments because it shows all of these things. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40. And Jesus said to him, "You shall love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourselves." Self. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophet. So our Lord summarizes the Ten Commandments for us. And it is as follows, simply put, love God, love neighbor. That's it. Love is the summarization of the Ten Commandments. So with that love, you need to approach these Ten Commandments. It's not some, you know, do's and don'ts that you dread. Thus, the Bible says the fulfillment of the law is love. Romans chapter 13, verse 10b, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. So when you love, then you fulfill the law. Because all these things that Ten Commandments tell us to do, it has to be out of our love for God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and Ten Commandments comes. But God says to us right now, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of sin, who brought you out of this sinful world and Satan. Now, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and love your neighbor as yourself. And that's exactly what Ten Commandments says to you. You know, love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And you go, oh, man. God is reasonable, unreasonable. How can he ask that? But I want you to realize that that's how God loved you. He loved you with all of his heart and all of his soul and all of his mind. He gave his life. He gave you everything. All God is telling us is let's love each other the same way. That's all. That's not unreasonable. Because you would ask your wife the same. No? If I love you this much, at least you have to love the same amount, no? And your wife says, that's unreasonable. Is that what we're saying to God? You're unreasonable. No, he's telling us to love him just the way that he loves us. As we love God and our neighbor, or as we love God by loving our neighbor, we fulfill the law of God in Jesus Christ. He loved God, his Father, with all of his heart and with all of his soul and with all of his mind. And he loved neighbor, his neighbor, you and me, his people. So he fulfills the law. And in him, we do the same. He did all that for us. He did all that in our places. He did all that instead of us. He did all that so it is as if we have done it ourselves. That's the gospel. And you have to come to Ten Commandments with that understanding. Otherwise, Ten Commandments just will be burdensome to you and it will just kill you. Why would we do that? So only in Christ, brothers and sisters, we receive the Ten Commandments. Well, next time, one more preliminary things, and then we will get into the first commandment. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We love you. We thank you for the law, your laws. They are delight to us. And only reason that your law is delight to us is because of Jesus Christ. That he obeyed everything perfectly for us. Oh Father, let us truly understand the gospel. But Father, even as we believe more clearly how Jesus obeyed all those laws for us, let us obey your laws as much as possible. Let us give everything we have, because it is our delight to express our love for you, to participate in the life of Christ, to imitate Jesus Christ. And it is our delight to witness our reality of heaven that Jesus has already accomplished for us. We thank you, God. And we love you. Receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.